I'm Dream Queen. You're in the cab with me. Thank you so much for rolling. We are back in the book club, and we're talking about Khalil Gibran's The Prophet. For those of you who are just tuning in for the first time or missed a few, I will again tell you that you can listen to previous episodes of this on In the Cab Radio at YouTube or In the Cab and In the Cab Radio at Mixcloud.com. On Mixcloud, you get the entire show. You can skip around, but you get the music selections as well. You don't get those on any other platform. Mixcloud allows DJs to use copyrighted material through licensing. So they handle that for us. So I set the whole mood. I appreciate when people go and check that out. Anyway, so we're here, and I will fill you in the present moment, here now. Al-Mustafa, the chosen and the beloved, has been living in Orphalese for 12 years. He's a traveler, a wise person, and a sage. And he looks out and on the ocean, and here comes a ship to take him back to his homeland. We don't know exactly where that is, but we do know that Al-Mustafa is a foreigner here, and he's a hermit, and he has watched the people of Orphalese go about their lives. Word travels through town that it is his time of leaving, and so folks want to go and see him off. They put down their work. It is the harvest time. They put down their plowshares, and they leave their wine presses and follow him to the sea. Almitra, the seeress woman, who is the first person to have greeted Al-Mustafa when he first arrived, comes out of the temple and into the square where everyone is gathered, and she asks Al-Mustafa to disclose us to ourselves and tell us all that has been shown to you, that which is between birth and death. And Al-Mustafa answers, "People of Orphalese, of what can I speak save of that which is even now moving within your souls?" And I always cover this at the beginning of every book club recap for the people who aren't in it. And I also want to tell you, please, you can right now go over to KhalilGibran.com or just type into a search engine, The Prophet PDF or whatever. You can download free versions of this. It is in public domain. It has been with us for 101 years now. I recommend taking advantage of it. It's a beautiful piece of literature. So I go over this because it's important for me, for everyone here who listens to the sound of my voice, to understand that the vibe is we all have innate understanding. We know. We just need to remember. And many, I don't know what you want to call it, just those seekers who are of integrity will always remind you and will help you get in touch with your own intuition. And so Al-Mustafa is coming from that place. Gibran is coming from that place. You already know what I'm going to say. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. We will get to the poem on talking. I brushed over it last month when I first introduced the book. We want to talk. They're down here by the sea. The boat's coming. What are we doing? You know, what do we do as people since we haven't really polished up the intuition situation yet? We got to use our words. So we're going to hang out and exchange some words. But I think it's just really important for me every week to remind you that I'm not here trying to tell you something you don't know, okay? I'm just putting some recommendations out there to massage the areas that might not have been massaged lately so that we can all remember. All right, I'm going to read because I'm trying to do a couple things today. "Then an old man, a keeper of an inn, said, 'Speak to us of eating and drinking.' And he said, 'Would that you could live on the fragrance of the earth and like an air plant be sustained by the light. But since you must kill to eat, and rob the newly born of its mother's milk to quench your thirst, let it then be an act of worship, and let your board stand an altar on which the pure and the innocent of forest and plain are sacrificed, for that which is purer and still more innocent in man. When you kill a beast, say to him in your heart, by the same power that slays you, I too am slain, and I too shall be consumed. For the law that delivered you into my hand shall deliver me into a mightier hand. Your blood and my blood is not but the sap that feeds the tree of heaven. And when you crush an apple with your teeth, say to it in your heart, your seeds shall live in my body, and the buds of your tomorrow shall blossom in my heart, and your fragrance shall be my breath, and together we shall rejoice through all the seasons. And in the autumn, when you gather the grapes of your vineyards for the winepress, say in your heart, I too am a vineyard, and my fruit shall be gathered for the winepress, and like new wine, I shall be kept in eternal vessels. And in winter, when you draw the wine, let there be in your heart a song for each cup. And let there be in the song a remembrance for the autumn days, and for the vineyard, and for the winepress. Khalil Gibran, the prophet, on eating and drinking. All right, let's just talk about this for a few moments. I think it's pretty clear. And in this week of giving thanks, where many people shall gather to feast, I find it appropriate and synchronicitous that this be the poem that is in order for today. I've known people in various stages of life with various eating habits. I've gone through different things, different ideas. How do we reconcile what we consume, what we kill, what we put in, right? And I'm just going to keep it brief. I know vegetarians. I know pescatarians. I've met in my life fruitarians. I think I've met small children who wish they could be sustained on air. They can't reconcile anything. Sometimes little kids, you know. Sometimes you want to just save the tiniest fly and not kill anything. Don't step on an ant. You know, we all go through that phase in life where we don't want to harm anything. And that's the most beautiful, innocent place to be. To say, I don't want to harm anything in the web because it's animus. Everything has consciousness. And so I choose not to eat an animal, but I choose to eat a vegetable. Well, now, I don't know if y'all remember back in the day when I first heard that broccoli screams or whatever. And now they're talking about mushrooms can talk. And, you know, what about the mushrooms? Like, you know, again, we can't eat air yet. Or sunlight. You know, so we can go for health reasons and what we can do for our body. But I think the main important thing is making a prayer every time. Making a prayer every time. I was one of these people that grew up saying grace. And things get distorted in our culture as religion has gotten distorted. And spirituality has been lumped in with religion and something weird and this and that. So I guess I broke the habit of giving thanks over every meal. And I realized when I would be at people's houses who did do that, I felt a relief because it was like I was given permission to stop, slow down, and without the stigma that's put on spirituality and religion right now, and that's very much juxtaposed because of different, what do we call them, fanatics, right? Because of the fanatics, I think I started to go a little bit in the shadows, and now I'm coming back out. And I have to say that y'all are witnessing my awakening process here on the air. And it really got deep when we started with bell hooks and some other personal changes I was going through in my life. And I'm not going to stop the radio show. So we're all on the ride together, living out loud, being in front with it, being vulnerable. Okay, so I'm going to tell you my deep little secrets about, wow, you know, and I respect people who take that moment. And this is bringing it back to say grace. Since you must kill to eat and rob the newly born of its mother's milk. Okay, so kill to eat, whether that's an animal or a plant, something is being sacrificed. And so make your board an altar in the kitchen, not only putting in love for your family and for yourself, the nourishment, but also to the spirit of that being that gave itself. Then we say, it took me a minute and I didn't really get this until I was reading it to you just now. The other half of that, let your board stand an altar on which the pure and the innocent of forest and plain are sacrificed for that which is purer and still more innocent in man. Now, I don't know about y'all. When I first read that, I was like, what? What is purer and more innocent in man than the pure and the innocent of the forest and plain? They must be the most pure and innocent of all. Little doe, God bless the bison, let them be free. You know, the little animals out there, little rabbits. They're not worried about nuclear war. They're not slapping their kids around or, you know, acting a fool and whatever. The condition of human, what's more innocent and pure in us than in them? When I read that out loud to y'all, I thought, it's the potential. We have the potential. As long as we stay alive, there is something inside of us that with our cognitive thought can understand that we're all connected and we take on the mantle of steward and work from that light within, that pure love light, and be great spirit ourselves. Because we have cognitive thought and discernment and empathy, we have the capacity for all those things. So as we take in life force from other flora and fauna, the sun, each other, the breath of life. If we use that energy to become more godlike in the sense of creation, of love and light, that is the most pure, I think. That's my interpretation. I'm not saying I'm right, just that kind of came across to me while I was reading it. Your blood and my blood is not but the sap that feeds the tree of heaven. I mean, if you've been with the book club or if you plan on catching up, you'll see that we started out with love. And we took it back to Dr. King and bell hooks and love being divine, the divine love being the source of everything. All right, let's see. What else? I think it was pretty much self-explanatory here. Let the apple seed live within you. I think that's a nice little analogy. Because the apple, if we go deep into spirituality and the significance of the apple, it's a little bit of a, it's a kind of a fruit that shows up over and over again, right? Knowledge, wisdom, a whole food from the Garden of Eden, forbidden from a certain tree for certain reasons. I'll leave that to you. There's a lot of interpretations, but the apple, you know, breasts are often referred to as fleshy apples. You know, you get the milk of life, sustenance from the mother, the earth. Johnny Appleseed and all these people, you know. Been eating a lot of apples lately myself. And the wine. The wine. I'm just getting off the top of my head. There are things that show up over and over again in spiritual texts. The apple, the wine. Wine was really important to people in the old days. That's what they kind of got a little tipsy on that. Water probably wasn't very much available, clean water a lot, you know, a sacrament, wine. It brings forward community, sharing of the cup, the sharing of the time in the vineyard. As Gibran suggests, that as we consume each cup, wine, blood, sangre, the blood of life, in the autumn times of gathering, in the dark, in the harvest times, we remember and we hold those times sacred, and we hold the grape and our time together in the field as we learn and put the work in as a community. We hold all that sacred. We're getting a twofer this time. We are going to spend the next few minutes talking about something that's been resonating with me lately. Obviously, I'm on the radio. It is what we do. Chickpea to cook. And I opened up the last hour. If you missed it, you can go to mixcloud.com in the cab radio, mixcloud.com, probably somewhere within the next 2 weeks. You can get back and find it. Is that Coleman Barks, you know, he's been elevated as one of the premier translators of Rumi because that's what's put on the book covers. As I went deeper into the Rumi rabbit hole, finding out that Coleman Barks more wrote his own poems based on some Rumi vibes and has been very much criticized by Arab scholars. That it's not a really an authentic translation, that his poems are based upon other European translators with a limited understanding of Farsi or Persian language. And so we have a distorted view of Rumi because of these renditions that we take as pure Rumi. So I want to put that out there. However, it's a brilliant poem. So what I'm saying is it's chickpea to cook. If you Google it, you'll see a lot of people have it on their blogs, and they've credited by Rumi translation by Coleman Barks. And so you can find this everywhere on the internet. However, I want you to know what I learned, because a lot of people don't go deeper and understand that Rumi was Muslim and, you know, had a very distinct view of how he saw things, and we don't really want to distort people's view. So this version of Chickpea to Cook, several years ago when Pluto was doing its thing, maybe, geez, this would be 2008, maybe 10, somewhere between 2008 and 2010, I was having a Pluto transit at the time. And I was a little bit out of sorts. And it's happening again, y'all. Pluto has just gone direct in Aquarius. We talk a little bit about this planetary movements. And a buddy of mine would refer me to this poem. She's like, "You're like a little chickpea." And I'm like, "What are you even talking about?" She's like, "Read this." And so I want to bring this to the table. It's a conversation is about food and about transits and about deep transformation. within the self. And I hope everybody's having one, because we can't stay the same, especially in these times. So I hope this lends a little insight. Chickpea to Cook, version by Coleman Barks, based upon Rumi. A chickpea leaps almost over the rim of the pot where it's being boiled. "Why are you doing this to me?" The cook knocks him down with the ladle. "Don't you try to jump out. You think I'm torturing you. I'm giving you flavor, so you can mix with spices and rice and be the lovely vitality of a human being. Remember when you drank rain in the garden? That was for this." Grace first, sexual pleasure, then a boiling new life begins, and the friend has something good to eat. Eventually, the chickpea will say to the cook, "Boil me some more. Hit me with the skimming spoon. I can't do this by myself. I am like an elephant that dreams of gardens back in Hindustan and doesn't pay attention to his driver. You're my cook, my driver, my way into existence. I love your cooking." The cook says, "I was once like you, fresh from the ground. Then I boiled in time and boiled in the body. Two fierce boilings. My animal soul grew powerful. I controlled it with practices and boiled some more and boiled once beyond that and became your teacher." Chickpea to Cook, version by Coleman Barks, based upon the Rumi. And I just want to leave that there. Maybe we can go over a couple of lines here. It all just kind of tracks with the idea that transmutation of energy of ourselves. Everything, all the horrors that we experience, we have the power to run from the wisdom or let it change us. Everybody's feelings are valid. And then we have to step back from our feelings. Again, back to Eckhart Tolle, the power of presence, you know, that awakening advice. We don't let our feelings define us. They cannot. We are not our feelings. But we have to feel them. And, I've yelled at my altar. I've done the Lieutenant Dan. I've been that chickpea for real. Homie called me out legit. Like, even up to yesterday. But I'm getting more at peace at it. Not so many times a day. And I know that I'm not the only one. A lot of people struggling with being aware of what's going on around us. We don't understand why things would be allowed to go the way they go. If there was a God, if there was any sense in the world, these things would not be happening. But that's not the Earth experience. So we have to let it change us into the friends good eaten. the friend is Great Spirit, our eternal friend. And one day we won't shrink from challenges. We face them as beautiful potential. Hey, I get to solve a puzzle today. I know, I'm not there yet. No more puzzles. No more puzzles. Can I just be like water? We're going to start talking about the Tao here soon, too. Okay, well, what else do I have in here? I have a note here about reincarnation. That's a thing about Pluto, isn't it? The past life energy, what karma, what energies are we carrying around with us? And I appreciate this line. It's where I got it from, is grace first, sexual pleasure, then a boiling new life begins, and the friend has something good to eat. That little stanza there. I feel like the grace first is talking about pre-life, what we are before we get here in this incarnation, and then the sexual pleasure of our parents, and then the new life, which is me, and I'm food. I'm food for Great Spirit. How do you become food for love? You are what you eat. You are what you eat. And drink. All right. In transmission. That's my new line. I don't want to Babylon anymore. Oof. Babylon in Babylon. Hey. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it to you. I'm going to end this transmission now. I appreciate all of you for being here and listening to KMRD LP. Madrid, New Mexico, please go to www.kmrd.fm/support and you can figure out how you can support our station. And you can become a monthly contributor. You can donate a car that doesn't run. We get the metal money. There's a lot of ways to support us. We are listener supported, all volunteer run. And your donations help us keep the lights on, keep all the equipment on, and pay the mortgage. We got a mortgage. So I love y'all. Help us out. Help yourself out. And help out your neighbors. Have a happy holiday. Give respect to the First Peoples, please. All right? And that's it. Appreciate you for rolling.